My name is Anthony Roach. I was a serving police officer with South Wales Police for 18 years. Excellent service, won awards, commendations, everything, you know, and well respected.
Can you just take us through your career and explain how it came to a rather abrupt end?
Yeah, sure. I was accepted into the South Wales Police Force on the 24th of February 1997. I was stationed in the Cardiff City Cottage Police Station after my training. Then I, as a routine patrol officer, then I went to the Roath Police Station on the outskirts of Cardiff and then up to Lanishan. I've been done traffic attachments. I've worked in the PS police support units involving loads of the antisocial behaviour, large events, major events, etc. in the Cardiff City Centre. And then I've been on a community. And then in 2008, I applied for a job in the police licensing department, covering all the licensing issues throughout the Cardiff area, which is a massive area. And it's it was so big, I believe, per square mile, they have more licensed premises per square mile than any other big town cities in the UK. So very, very busy, but we were a small team. What happened then? 2008, this was at the time then, another 2 years we transferred to Cardiff Bay. And what happened then? The work was being increased and the department only consisted of one civilian, one police sergeant and myself, a police licensing officer with a female licensing officer who, when she started, she's been on restricted duties ever since we've been in there. So she's done no night shifts, no special events, etc. So at that time, in 2010, when we moved down to the new station in Cardiff Bay, we became very, very busy. Cardiff City were promoted and the licensing premises was just increasing, you know, and it was the demands and all that. It was very, very hard. At that time, then another year, 2 years, I obviously started suffering with stress, but I didn't know that was in the job. I was losing my equipment and everything. I was sent home for, you know, taking too much work on in stress with the amount of work which I was expected to do. But on top of that, you know, shocking my life, on the 20th of January 2014, whilst in work, I was arrested, to my shock and horror, for misconduct in a public office. I was taken to a police station, obviously not feeling well and, you know, all this coming on to me. But I'll move on a little bit quicker because at that time I was investigated and I was supposed to be, they turned around and said that I was taking envelopes of money, cash envelopes. I was given information out from the computer. The investigation went on for, I believe, 15 months. And you can imagine my state of mind with all this because, you know, it was all false. I'm then told to go to a police misconduct hearing because after the investigation, there was no criminal charges whatsoever brought against me, which I knew. But I couldn't get around why and who, you know, where all this came from. So anyway, I went to a police misconduct hearing. I was very, very ill then, and this is all documented by the force doctor, my GP. There was instance in work and everything. But anyway, I had three police interviews with PACE, and one of them I can remember just collapsing. I wasn't fit for interview. I wasn't given any you know, checks by any doctors to see if I was fit for interview. And with these allegations, obviously it was making me worse. So anyway, I went to a misconduct on in March it was 2015, and then that lasted for about 4 or 5 days, and then the assistant chief constable, who was Richard Lewis, and there was a superintendent on the panel as well, Gary Osborne, they were both chairing my panel. Now the panel, Osborne was changed to sit on the panel the Friday before the Monday when I was starting. Of course, my mental health had exacerbated by then. I'm still suffering with mental health, and I'm on loads and loads of medication. I was requesting certain data from South Wales Police, and because there were 6 charges made against me, which were very minor, one of them was I left work to go and buy a car. Well, no, it was a flexible role, and you know, that was my time. So then they said I left work half hour early to go and play football for the force, which I'd done for 16 years. So again, I said, well, go and get my time card, which is electronic, and that would show you exactly what time I was in work. They refused to provide that. They said that they lost it or it don't exist. My job description was a flexible role. I joined the licensing department in 2008. And when it was a 2008 job description, which obviously said flexible roles, numerous unsociable hours. When I went to my misconduct hearing, I did tell them that the job description you got is dated 2013. It doesn't apply to me. It was different wording. Witnesses were refused to attend, even the ones where the officers breached pace in interview. The force doctor, who said I was suffering work overload, burnout, he wasn't allowed to turn up. And ACC Lewis, who was chairing the panel, said, oh, well, that's just his opinion. So anyway, I'll move it on. So yeah, I was dismissed. And obviously it was not degrading as well, because I'm an innocent person. I hadn't done nothing. And the other charges were, they said that you left work early, and you know, all these things were minor, 6 minor things. And I've said to him, had you get my time card, you would see that I was working more hours. I was in earlier than what was said. I put additional hours. My phone records, which obviously they seized as well, with evidence that even when I'm on holiday abroad, on the weekends, when I'm day off, I'm still working and still dealing with licensing issues. My work, I will say, was fantastic. And my bosses, all my senior management, I was the best licensing officer in that department, and crime and disorder whilst I was in there from 2008 was reduced every single year. So anyway, I'm devastated. I'm dismissed from the job I loved, and I tried to commit suicide then, because I tried to jump off a bridge, and I ended up in the crisis mental health. It was only around about September then, a lot of ex-senior officers, because I was well-respected, were saying, you've upset somebody. So anyway, I'll move this on, and I've been trying to get justice ever since.
Can I just, hang on, Tony, can I just say something? Because, I mean, it's pretty shocking, isn't it? The idea that you've done a tremendous job, you've been putting your back into it, in bringing crime and disorder in the area right down, targeting all these various licensed premises, as we know, they are a hotspot of things like drug dealing and all sorts of things, where these people, individuals who've got licenses, often flout the law, and you were actually bringing them to book on all of this. You know, it sounds absolutely breathtaking that the crime and disorder is not actually your ability to bring that crime and disorder down is not actually recognised by the police. In fact, the reverse. In fact, you're punished for bringing it down.
Well, it gets worse than that, Tony. Obviously, I'm suffering mental health now. I'm under the crisis mental health. I was dismissed then, a day after my 50th birthday, April the 3rd. And the following Monday, ACC Lewis put 2 additional police officers in that department because they were struggling. And once he sacked me, he said, yeah, you're an excellent officer. You weren't stressed in work, and but I had all the evidence to provide I was stressed. Now, 6 months later, ACC Lewis reports to the Wales Online and the media stating, and it was like a knife into my stomach, that the licensing department in Cardiff cannot cope with all the work when they're 100% fully staffed. And that was like a knife into me. So anyway, as we move on, I've been trying to get justice. And then I'm asking, because my head wasn't right, I've only found out now and obtained evidence that ACC Lewis, Richard Lewis, not only was he head of the professional standards who arrested me in the anti-corruption unit, he's sitting and chairing my misconduct panel, which is one against the police regulations. And I also found out that Superintendent Gary Osborne, who was in charge of the tactical unit in PSD, professional standards, he was the one who changed the last minute 2 days before my hearing to sit on the panel. So this panel was rigged, the misconduct was flawed, and I've been asking and asking who sanctioned and authorised, it was called Operation Kansas. And I've been trying the chief constables, the South West Police, PCC, Alan Michael. They will not respond to it.
Tell us what it was like to actually to be arrested. Where were you? What were the whole circumstances? Just take us through that bizarre event.
It was devastating. It was I was coming out of a meeting, and as I'm walking towards my car in the car park, two PSD officers approach me, and I thought they wanted some intelligence or something, and they just arrested me, and I was like, what? And of course, that was around about 20 past 12, just after midday, so I'm taken up the valleys in a police station.
Wait, were you cuffed or what?
I just can't remember, and I was just in shock, and I was taken up there. Of course, I remember I was stuck in a room by the cells, and then I remember the Police Federation, who haven't helped me at all throughout this. They contacted the solicitor, and the solicitor didn't turn up till about, I don't know, 7 o'clock.
In the evening. I mean, just for people that don't know, the Police Federation is like almost like a kind of union for police officers.
Well, I wouldn't call them a union, and I'll tell you why. So anyway, I'm nearly, you know, devastated. I don't know what's going on. The solicitor come into the room then, introduce himself, and it will stay with me for the rest of my life. I said, can you tell me what I've been arrested for? And he said, misconduct in a public office, and I must tell you, you might end up going to prison. I just broke down, and I thought, what is going on here? So anyway, I was interviewed, and all these allegations, I was taking cash envelopes, I was giving information out, I answered every single thing. And anyway, I was bailed. And interviewed again. I was bailed, interviewed again. And I think it was around about August, September, I was told there'd be no criminal charges against me, which I knew. But what's really obviously hurts, and it, you know, I'm suffering PTSD because of all this. I've only found out October last year, because I've got disclosure and I can evidence all what I'm saying, that the South West Police were involved in police stings with two known criminals. I've got the one statement, and it's not even signed by any police officers. There's no times, no dates. It's like somebody from a school has written a statement. It's appalling. This guy is very, very violent. He's also made threats to kill certain people, which I've had to put intelligence in. He's got access to firearms. He was supposed to have a gun in the office because the licensing trade, it's very, very corrupt, as you've said. And so this guy has lied, perverted the course of justice with another guy who've said that, you know, I was taking drugs and, you know, I'm so all I was. I was so fit. The only drug I've taken is probably paracetamol or something. I've represented the police in the Welsh League football. I've always taken pride in my health, never ever taken any substance, never smoked in my life. So they believe these two criminals, and then I've got evidence as well to show that they've lied, they've perverted the course of justice. And then what's happened, they have put surveillance on me and my wife for 18 months. I've got evidence where they've been in my home. They've lied to go to a Cardiff magistrate to get a warrant to search our house. I've seen documentations where they've lied to get further authorizations against me. And obviously, I'm trying to get my pension on ill health now. And what's more concerning, my solicitor, who used to work with the police rep, police federation, has gone separate because of the corruption involved with the police federation and also the senior officers of the police forces. And this is a national thing. We are not getting the support or the help. We get chosen who we have. So there is all this evidence come to light. I've asked the police. I've done freedom of information. One of the questions, I requested that ACC Lewis was the head of special operations. They wrote back to me, "We have consulted with our human resource department who advise ACC Lewis was substantive head of special operations, that's PSD, from the 3rd of May 2013 until the 27th of January 2014. I've got documentation where he's been involved in the surveillance as an ACC, authorising certain tactics and COVID, whatever you want to call it.
Sorry, I mean, just to clear up some of these acronyms, that's Assistant Chief Constable and the Professional Standards Department, isn't it?
Yeah, that's ACC Lewis himself, who was involved and sat and chaired my panel, misconduct panel, which was rigged. And
isn't he just like one down from the chief constable?
No, there's the deputy then. But he did end up, after I was dismissed, he got promoted then by Alan Michael, the PCC, to deputy. So you've got the chief constable, deputy, and then the ACC. And ACC Lewis was head of professional standards, special operations, and so obviously that's evidence now that proves that it was rigged and it was corrupt. They breached the police misconduct rules. So I've asked many questions to ex-South Wales Police Chief Constable Matt Jukes, ex-Chief Constable Peter Vaughan. I've said, can you tell me if ACC Lewis was involved in the investigation and special operations? They will not reply. But then I've got evidence from the South Wales Police website where Peter Vaughan, the chief constable, is sat down. You probably know him. He's from Avon and Somerset. John Stratford. He was transferred from Avon and Somerset to South Wales Police, and he took over the responsibilities of special operations, professional standards. So, you've got the head who's, obstructing justice. I've got stuff from Alan Michael, who've said ACC Lewis was, in fact, selected by the professional standards. Well, he's their boss. How can they select their own boss? To adjudicate your case, has he had no previous involvement in the matter whatsoever, which is the basis upon all panel member hearing, a gross misconduct hearing, are selected. My complaint is therefore upheld. I've got further new evidence from an ex-superintendent who ACC Lewis was his boss, who's given a statement and said ACC Lewis was head of PSD. I've got an anti-corruption officer, a statement from him to say that, yeah, he was head of PSD at that time of my investigation. But more concerning, ACC Lewis now has retired, and I was contacted by another ex-officer who's passed me information to say that ACC Lewis has set up his own personal consultancy security business. He's gone on LinkedIn, Indeed, and I've got the copy, and he's put where he's head of special operations, PSD. It's fast. So I've written, I'm trying to get justice, I've written to the chair, Mr. Richard Mertz. He deals with all appeals against, wrongful arrest or dismissals and that. I've written to him. I said, were you aware that ACC Lewis and Superintendent Gary Osborne were involved in the investigation, and he sat and chaired my panel? And his response was, no, he said, this is what he said. I was informed that the PAT chair, that two members of the misconduct was heard in his case and they'd be involved in the investigation. This is why he's writing to the police. He said, I received an email from former PC Roach inquiring as to whether I was informed as the PAT chair that two members of the misconduct panel, which heard his case, had been involved in the investigation. I have revisited my Rule 11 determination and note that it appears that no issue was raised in the grounds of the appeal as to any breach of procedure or regularity. Obviously, I didn't know then at the time. As regards to the constitution of the misconduct panel, had I understood that to be a ground of appeal, I should have dealt with it. Again, if anyone concerned in this appeal, either as a party or from the Commissioner's office, had raised such an issue, I would have expected to have called for full details of any involvement in the investigation by a misconduct panel member. So the other disclosure I've got, which is more concerning, the South Wales Police Commissioner, Alan Michael, he has also been involved in the investigation. He's I've got a documents here to show that he met in a police station with one of the individuals, known criminals, who's perverted the course of justice about me. And the problem I've got now, I'm trying to get an appeal because obviously it was flawed, it was set up. These two criminals were lying for their own benefits to try and get on the door industry. And because I was squeaky clean, they knew, obviously, they had to get past me. Now, what happened, I've also been given another appeal. There was a PCC. She won her appeal against her dismissal.
So that's a police commissioner, yeah?
Yeah, the police, South Wales Police Crime Commissioner, the PCC. That's Alan Michael. He was involved in the investigation as well. Now, he will not give me an appeal against my dismissal. Now, the reason he will not, he knows full well it's going to expose serious corruption within his force. Now, I've also passed to him, there was an Essex officer on the 20th of July 2017. She was dismissed for gross misconduct at the police disciplinary hearing. But the appeal tribunal ruled that the original tribunal had been improperly constituted because of the presence of a senior employee. So the panel in the place of the serving officer was it wasn't done properly. And I suppose it was another conflict of interest. So she was awarded another tribunal, another hearing, and she got it. Now, every time I write to Alan Michael, I tell him about all this new evidence. And he writes to me and states, under the provisions of the police regulations, you cannot have a second appeal. Now, as a serving police officer for 16 years then at the time, I know any new evidence, and especially the evidence I've got, I should be entitled. Now, I've spoken to the chair, Richard Mertz, of the Police Appeals Tribunal, and I've asked him for a new appeal, and he states he can only give me a new appeal if Alan Michael, the South Wales Police Crime Commissioner, or the Chief Constable, allows me to. Well, I'm not going to be allowed because they know it's going to expose serious corruption committed by South Wales Police. The surveillance for 18 months, it was all unlawful. They've tapped my phone, my landline. I've had three police forces following me. And every time they've gone for an authorisation to carry on, they've got to apply for RIPA. They will not provide me with the RIPA documents from the Home Office.
RIPA is the Regulation of Investigatory Powers, isn't it?
That's right. And
that's an Act of Parliament.
Yes, and I've asked them for that. They will not give it to me, and because we know now that they have been monitoring my phone and my landline, and they know whatever they've said. I think they didn't even have authority. They've just done it. But what I believe is they have lied, if they have got authority, that I'm a criminal, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But there was no evidence whatsoever. It was all lies. And this went on for 18 months, and they were trying anything and anything to justify the public spending.
Amazing. Now, well, anyway, look, I mean, of course, that's sounds to me as if they've been piling lies upon lies and getting really into a bit of a twist and getting to the point where they've got to get rid of you. But look, if you take a step back from all this, yeah. I mean, what do you think it's really about? What were you doing that was, upsetting somebody powerful?
Right. All I can say is South Wales Police have got the most miscarriage of justices, Tony, outside of the Metropolitan Police. It is like a boys' club. If you don't toe the line, you're going to be targeted. And there was one female officer who had the close association with one of the, I'll say, very, very senior officers, where she was up to, up to no good. I had to put a report in about her behaviour in the licensed premises, and she was disciplined and moved. And that's the only thing I can think why I was targeted.
Okay, can you just explain a little bit what you mean by that? I mean, you know, without going into giving names and things.
She was involved in serious corruption, and at my misconduct, I was aware that she was going to be arrested. But obviously I'm squeaky clean. I put everything past my sergeant. He's obviously ordered me to put a report in of the observations and what happened. She gets disciplined, kicked out of the city centre as a sergeant. And obviously I wasn't aware then, but the close association with her, with the senior officers.
What was she actually doing? What did you have evidence that she was doing?
The evidence I had was she was in one of the family members' premises, and I was with a colleague, and when I entered those premises, there was no licensee in there. There was loads of breaches of the license. There was drugs in there. So you can imagine. And, you know, so that's where it stems. And that report went in, and it coincides the same time as when I was targeted. And, you know, I've given all this to the IOPC, and they will not investigate senior officers.
Amazing. The other thing is, can you just take us through some of the other problems there's been in South Wales Police over the last few years? I mean, we did an interview about the Clydach murders, for example, earlier this year. I mean, you know, obviously I'm over in Bristol, and obviously our police force, Avon and Somerset, is not squeaky clean, but I'm getting tremendous number of calls and stories from Cardiff and Newport, etc., and Swansea about the problems over there. So can you take us through some of the things that, you know, have been going on in South Wales Police over the last few years?
Well, from my experience, Tony, it's if you're not a yes man and you don't do what they say, it's you're going to be ostracised. It's like a boys' club. I believe especially there's a lot of connections with the Masons. I do believe that, and a lot of other officers believe that as well. I don't know if you've seen that program. It ended last week with the murder of Lynette White. It was called A Killing of Tiger Bay. As I was watching that, I was feeling physically sick again, the way the officers conducted themselves in the investigations. And what's more annoying now, obviously I can relate to this now, and if they're doing that to the public, and now they're doing that to their own, you've got the other
case. So could you just take us through the Lynette White case for people that have not come across it?
It's cost the taxpayer. It was the most costliest miscarriage of justice. They arrested five people. Three ended up going to prison, and it was only years after that Dodsley,
what for?
For murder. Murder of a prostitute. And the evidence they had, they didn't have any evidence. And this is the same in my case. There was no evidence. And then what the police, what the witnesses were requesting and everything else, the police lost the evidence. Now, I can show you stuff now in my case, my time card, my job description. They've even told the information commissioner's office when I've made complaints about certain data that I'm entitled to, or we don't hold that, you know. And yet I've got it 6 years later now, where another officer's applied for it. It is corrupt, and I feel sorry for the paying public. And regarding the South West Police, PCC, Alan Michael, I believe they spent well over £1 million on my investigation, and they had to get a result. And you look at the things, these six minor charges against me, I can mitigate everything what they've said, but they're not interested. And the other sorrow point about this, all these senior officers who were involved in Operation Kansas, that's my investigation, once I was dismissed, they were all promoted. And again, that's taxpayers' money. Now, I'm sure taxpayers' money should be spent properly and should be transparent. I've asked Alan Michael, how much did Operation Kansas cost the paying public? He said, I don't hold that information. He won't give it. And then South West Police Freedom of Information provided a costing of £23,000. Now, that is total lies. That is a cover-up.
I mean, it's fascinating. And also, it does sound as if these people have been rewarded for corruption rather than for uncovering corruption and arresting people.
Tony, I know another officer who's involved in the investigation against me, monitoring the cameras and everything, and he was up to no good, and I won't name him, but he was the charges against him are the misconduct, and he was a senior officer again, and he was taking police vehicles, using a false credit card. There was other offences which I won't go into. They were all criminal, but because he was working for the PSD, they just dismissed him. And yet me, you know, a PC or lower rank, they will do anything and anything to try and get rid of you. And like I said, I was told I was going to prison. And not only was I suffering mental health, overworked in work, the charges against me, it took them 18 months to try and get 18 months investigation with all these COVID and three police forces following me. So when I was arrested then, it took them another 15 months then to try and get something again, which, like I said, I'm squeaky clean. My reputation, I still hold my head up high. And a lot of my colleagues are disgusted of the senior bosses and the IOPC who will do nothing about it. And yet you get a lower police officer who have committed something minor, they will go for them. I don't know if you know, and I've got to say it because it's on my mind, you've got those Gwent officers, very, very senior, who's been on police bail for nearly 2 years. And, you know, the offences that they've committed, the IOPC haven't dealt with it properly. They're trying to obviously move away. The police misconduct, they still haven't had a police misconduct. And yet they have been paid thousands of pounds each month, taxpayers' money. And no doubt when the end result comes, Tony, they will resign and have their fully paid pension. And it's disgusting. So
I mean, what can be done about this? What do you think? What can we do?
I've been asking, and I've also written to the Prime Minister. I wrote to Theresa May, Boris Johnson. They just give it to the Home Office. Home Office don't want to know. They will say contact the IOPC. The IOPC then have told me I've got numerous documents. Any new evidence or complaints, give it to South West Police professional standards to investigate themselves.
Yeah, but you're dealing with a mafia here. They're basically not going to investigate.
They're not
going to do their jobs. But what can we do with corrupt, you know, a network this is of corrupt officials?
Well,
you say the Freemasons, you may have evidence for that, you may not. But what can be actually be done about networks of criminality within the criminal justice system?
Well, like I said, with this, the killing of Lynette White, the killing in the Cardiff Bay, that programme, Matt Jukes, the chief constable, said, and I was physically sick, he stated, all that happened all those years ago, it doesn't happen in my force today. What a liar. The guy has got to be transparent. He cannot ignore what we're telling him. You know, I'm a serving police officer. Now, if they've done that to their own, what are they doing to the public? And the IOPC, it's got to be disbanded. I would like an appeal against my dismissal, which I know I'm not going to get, but I'm not going to stop fighting for it, because they know it's going to expose, my story is going to be similar regarding the evidence and tampered with and refused, delayed, etc., like the Lynette White case. And South West Police needs to look at them. There needs to be a full public inquiry into South West Police, because there's a lot more to this, which obviously I don't want to say on air, but, you know, once this comes out, and this is why the IOPC do not want to investigate senior officers. You've got the South West Police PCC, Alan Michael. Since he's been in post, he's only recruited chief constables within, because obviously they know, you know, what's going on. And I'm sure if any chief constable came into South Wales, he'd say, "What? Sorry for
saying." Yeah, I mean, they would be horrified. If he's recruiting from inside, these senior officers all know where the bodies are buried.
Exactly. And anyone working for the safest job in South Wales Police, I would say, is in professional standards. And I know a lot of these officers have been in serious trouble, and they've never, ever been charged with any offences, investigated, because, like you said, they know where all the bodies are buried.
Do you think it's possible for South Wales police officers to commit murder and then to just simply blame it on somebody else and get away with it?
Well, I've got to be careful what I'm saying, but what I've seen, like the Cluddock, you look at the Lynette White's case, my case, and I'll tell you now, I've had threats as well from these two individuals who made false allegations while I was a serving police officer. In the company of one of my colleagues, I put a report in of the threats. Now, the one guy, a couple of months before, I put a report in for him to be arrested because he made threats involving live ammunition, guns, and he even put bullets on a table. And all the intelligence and South Wales Police did nothing about it. So when that individual then makes a threat to myself in front of a colleague, and then they turn on, they say, "Oh, we haven't got the report." Well, unfortunately, the report went via email, electronic, and they've now got it after. They had it anyway then, which, you know, for them to say we haven't got it is another lie. It's perverting the course of justice again. And I was threatened February this year by the other individual who made false allegations, and his connections and everything. You know, it's they're very, very violent, nasty people. Now, I'm not in the job now. So, yeah, I did report it, but to cover myself, but I'm on tender hooks. I know the police are not going to do nothing to him because he's been an informant with them. And I'm looking, and I'm not sleeping, and I'm looking over my shoulder everywhere I go. And I shouldn't be, you know, sorry, I'm getting upset. I shouldn't be living like this.
No, you certainly shouldn't. It's just painting a little picture at the end here. We've got police informant criminals, yeah, violent thugs, yeah, who are being paid by the public as well as doing their criminal work, yeah, working so closely with the police that the police are actually recruiting them to make false allegations against you and potentially, yeah, any other police officer. This does sound to me like about as bad as corruption could get, you know, with violent criminals seamlessly working with the police to actually perpetuate crime rather than stop it.
Exactly. And Matt Jukes, the ex-chief constable, who's now a commissioner up in the Metropolitan Police, he have stated South West Police will never use criminals as informants. And I'm thinking that was like another knife in my stomach. It's that a cover-up. The IOPC Catherine Evans. I've spoken, emailed her numerous times, and she comes back and she says, under the Police Reform Act, I cannot make a complaint. And so, you know, I'm speaking to you now, and I think one day you might remember when something might horrible have happened with me. And then people will start questioning people. But South West Police have got so many miscarriage of justice. There's another boy up in Aberdare who was, we believe he was pushed in a river and drowned. And the parents made a complaint. And I know the South West Police said there was nothing wrong. The IOPC were happy there was nothing wrong. And I know Michael Mansfield now, as he was at the High Court, and now they're taking South West Police again to court for another miscarriage of justice.
Well, I mean, it sounds to me as if the atmosphere in South Wales is pretty toxic, where you've got criminals absolutely confident that they can go ahead and murder people, steal from people, kill people, and all they need to do is make a quick call to one of their friends in the police and they can get off scot-free.
Yeah, it's disgusting. I was proud of Tony what I've done. Every single year, my annual reviews were excellent. And then I get treated for false, malicious allegations, all proved to be false for these two, you know, their own benefits. And like I said, this operation has cost well over £1 million.
But it sounds as if maybe the corruption has gone so far that it's swallowing up more and more people being bribed, you know, taking two salaries, as they say, as a police officer, it's all encompassing now, and it may be very, very difficult to stop.
Yeah, there's... I know... You know, I think the best tone is I could come over and I could tell you more, but I've got to be careful. But the stuff I know, which was going on in the anti-terrorism unit, it is shocking. And I know one person has reported these things to the Home Office and not interested.
We've had the horrific evidence coming out about Wayne Cousins, who was serving Metropolitan Police officer who abused his warrant card to falsely arrest Sarah Everard in London under, you know, some cooked up charges to do with the COVID regulations, abducted her, raped her and murdered her. You know, so this is within the police force in London.
Yeah. Well, I know one of the officers who's head of the South West Police professional standards was also head of the anti-terrorist unit in Wales. And I am aware they were downloading CD copies on the police anti-terrorism computers. And the officer who was there exposed it to the chief constable, etc. And nothing was done about it. It seems with South Wales, if you're a senior officer, you can do what you want. It's terrible. And they will spend the public purse how they want. They will cover up. And like I said, with my case, everything I'm telling you, Tony, I can evidence. I know some people say, oh, this happened, that happened. I can evidence every single thing. And there's more, which obviously we won't have enough time. But if you've seen the evidence I've got, it is shocking. It is like it's a massive miscarriage of justice. The way they deal with the evidence, and they lose it, dispose of it. And like I said, I've got evidence now, 6 years later, which I requested my misconduct. But what done it for me as well, more importantly, you've got the ACC, Richard Lewis and Gary Osborne, who were involved in the investigation. How can they sit and chair my misconduct panel?
Well, they can't. And the fact that they have done is shows that they are... I mean, it almost sounds to me as if South Wales Police is just one massive criminal gang.
Well, I was always proud of a police officer. I had excellent reputation, and it's not sour grapes. This is why I've been fighting for 6 years, because I cannot accept corruption. People used to say to me, you South Wales Police officers, you're corrupt. And I used to think, oh, it's because obviously you've punched him or you've done a burglary or whatever. I tell you what, it's opened my eyes. They are corrupt, and I can evidence the corruption, and it all stems from the South Wales Police Crime Commissioner, Alan Michael, and the chief senior officers. And I can evidence all this myself. You trying to take them on, they will just all close ranks. I am so paranoid, you know, even now I think the police are still following me. And we call
maybe they are.
Yeah.
Maybe they are. Yeah, and the professional IOPC, the professional conduct people, obviously as well, very important role, because they are sort of the internal police within the police. But then it sounds to me as if they're in with the corrupt police too. Anyway, look, Tony Roach, thanks for your courage in speaking out about this, and we'll be speaking to you again, I don't doubt, in the near future.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.